Glad he's here. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2163. And I would like to call Nancy Orr and Tim Burr and Tom Whalen, please. And then I can just go. Can I just go right down the line? Again? Mm-hmm. Hi. Well, Ms. Orr, you want to start off? Or?
I will, Chair.
Good. Thank you very much.
I'd like to introduce the two gentlemen with me who were here last session forwarding a similar bill, Tim Burr and Tom Whalen. I'm Nancy Orr, State Fire Marshal, and asking you to support this bill. It's a do-good kind of thing. We have tried mightily for years to reduce fire deaths and have been successful with smoke alarms, construction features, and public education. This provides a technical solution, new technology solution to reducing fires started by cigarettes that have been discarded. There's new technology, actually been around for a while, but newly required in the United States and in Canada. This paper has little tiny speed bumps in it, slightly denser paper. That's the only difference. And when the flame reaches that slightly denser paper, it goes out if it isn't puffed on. In New York, where this was first passed in the United States, they've not seen decreases in cigarette sales or sales taxes. They have seen a decrease of 25 to 50% in cigarette-caused fires and fire deaths. We anticipate the same kind of loss reduction here in Oregon. You have with you today the Dash 2 amendments. When we began drafting for the governor this legislation for this session, staff member went painstakingly, line by line, through the legislation passed in the six other states in the United States that have passed this legislation, as well as legislation in Canada, and model language proposed by the National Fire Protection Association and by Philip Morris. We also have worked very closely with legislative counsel to draft the bill on amendment to the original draft, and most recently sat down with legislative counsel, a representative from Philip Morris, and a member of the Fire Safety Coalition from the Fire Service to go through the language again. The Dash 2 amendments that you see have been very carefully crafted, I believe, to take into consideration concerns that Philip Morris raised, as well as, I believe, the best judgment of legislative counsel for how model language can be implemented in Oregon. The legislation is slightly different in every state because of state constitutions and other state laws. But we are using the one national standard that has been adopted by all the states and is in the proposed legislation here, as well as proposed legislation in at least 12 other states as we speak. One standard, it's not a patchwork. We believe that Dash 2 amendments are the best result of intensive negotiation with Philip Morris and the other groups that last session opposed the bill. I ask for your support for this bill and for the Dash 2 amendments.
Thank you very much. Mr. Burr, you want to go next?
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Hi, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Burr. I reside at 12070 Southwest Fisher Road in Tigard. And by way of brief introduction, I am a 30-year veteran of the Oregon Fire Service. I retired a couple of years ago. I served with both the Eugene Fire Department, where I began my career and finished with Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. The first fatal fire that I ever responded to as a Eugene firefighter was a fire which was caused by a cigarette. And ironically, the last fatal fire that I responded to as a division chief with Tualatin Valley was a fire that was started by a cigarette. I became aware of this issue in about 1980 following a fatal fire at a University of Oregon fraternity house in which the victim was a female who'd been attending a party there. A fire broke out in the middle of the night and she wasn't able to get out of the building. That experience proved to be something for me that set me down a course of following this legislation for what now is approaching three decades. This body may or may not be aware that the Oregon Senate was actually the first state-level political body in the United States to address the issue when in 1979 they passed a memorial to the United States Congress. In the early 1980s, I was involved in several efforts to try to get cigarette fire safety legislation through the Oregon legislature, but at that time, we didn't have the standard that we do now. I could talk about the history, but frankly, we were here last session and we covered a lot of that ground. I think the best use of my time and your time would be for me to take just a couple of minutes and address some of the most common arguments that I hear in opposition to this legislation and explain why are they without foundation. One of the things that we have heard repeatedly, much has been made of the fact that this legislation is moving ahead at the state level rather than as a federal bill. And I would point out to you that, again, since 1979, there have been proposals before the U.S. Congress to pass this legislation. Congress has been unable to pass this legislation. And in fairness, I would state that this has been a bipartisan failure. It has happened under the watches of both parties. And at the same time, the efforts to resolve it have also been bipartisan. The two leading congressional advocates right now are Representative Edward Markey, who is a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Representative Peter King, who's a Republican from Long Island. It has been suggested that the way that this is moving forward results in the states creating a regulatory patchwork. And to amplify and echo the comments our state fire marshal just made, nothing could be farther from the truth. Every single one of these state laws is based on a standard, ASTM E218704, which was developed by federal researchers in conjunction with the tobacco industry in the mid-1980s. And while there may be some subtle variations from state to state in enforcement, maybe perhaps the amount of fines or whatever, the fundamental core of all of these laws is identical. The cigarettes that are being sold today in New York State can also be sold in all of the five other states that have passed this law, and should this law pass in Oregon, they can also be sold here. There is a national coalition that has been developed and is being hosted by the National Fire Protection Association. There are people around this country who are working to ensure that these laws are all based upon the same standard. Cigarettes sold in any of the six states that have passed this law can be sold in the other states, and they would all be able to be sold here. There is strong coordination. There have also been annual conferences for the last 2 years held at the Harvard School of Public Health where the advocates have worked to ensure this. So simply put, there is not a patchwork. The other sort of myth that we hear frequently is that there's federal legislation pending, that the states do not need to do anything about this because federal legislation will be right around the corner. Well, as I mentioned to you, the Oregon Senate passed a memorial to the United States Congress in 1979, and I submit that those who are waiting for a federal law should probably bring something to read and a pillow and a blanket. It has been 28 years, and during that time, an estimated 28,000 Americans have died in these fires. There is what has happened over and over with this issue is those of you who are fans of the Peanuts cartoon know that every fall there's a routine involving Lucy, Charlie Brown, and a football. And that's what the industry has been doing for 28 years. Every time that this comes up at the state level, they basically try to push it off on Congress. And then when something comes up before Congress, it gets killed there. The next thing I want to talk about briefly is we also hear from a lot of people that this is really about personal responsibility. That if smokers were just more careful, if we could somehow educate people to be more careful, we could address this problem. Indeed, the term smoker's carelessness tends to put the onus on the smoker. And I think the notion of personal responsibility is an attractive one to a lot of people. What I would submit to you, however, is with 30 years experience on the street as a firefighter, these fires are usually not the result of just simple carelessness. These fires are a result of elderly people who oftentimes fall asleep or may be on medications. These fires are often the result of people who are intoxicated on alcohol or various types of drugs. It's a very difficult environment in which to educate people to change their behavior. The other thing is that that kind of social Darwinism holds up well if the smokers who start the fires are the sole victims of the fires. Unfortunately, they're not. One in four of the victims of these fires, according to national statistics, are not the smokers who start the fire. It's the children who are sleeping in the bedroom upstairs. It's the neighbors in the apartment next door. In a number of cases, it's even been the responding firefighters. And in Oregon, where more and more of us live in multifamily housing, Darwinism is fine until Darwin moves into the apartment downstairs. The final argument that I want to touch on is that at least one of the major tobacco manufacturers has advanced the argument that people will be more careless if cigarettes are safer, which I personally have a difficult time with. The mere fact that my car is equipped with seat belts and airbags in no way encourages me or makes me more inclined to drive at excessive speed or under the influence. And I think that concludes my remarks.
All righty, then. Thank you. Mr. Whalen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my associates here have managed to sweep up most of the comments I had intended to make and dispatch with them. I'd like to draw your attention, though, to the handout that Nancy gave you.
Excuse me, you got to identify yourself for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom Whalen. Retired firefighter, former legislator, resident of the Portland. At any rate, on the back of the handout the state fire marshal gave you, it shows how these cigarettes are made. I've got a 1934 patent that essentially does the same thing as the self-extinguishing cigarette corporation of New York that I don't know what the ownership chain of that patent was, but they were never produced. And there are over 300 of these patents, so it's been a recognized problem for some time. The issue was first raised in 1929 by a Massachusetts congresswoman, had the then Bureau of Standards examine it, and came to a positive conclusion that a self-extinguishing cigarette could be made, and the 1934 patent was a direct result of that. As you can see, there's a little speed bump. There'll be at least two of these, one 15 millimeters from the tip, one 15 millimeters from the filter or the end of the cigarette if it's not filtered. And those essentially interrupt the chain reaction that permits the unintended cigarette to burn. Now, these cigarettes are made with such industrial precision that only could be made by modern industrial machinery. You'll notice that these cigarettes, they're all a certain diameter. The smoking column's a certain diameter. That's because if it's any larger, it would tend to snuff itself out. The porosity of paper is critical, although you can't see it with the naked eyes. If it were too thick, it would snuff out the cigarette because not enough ambient air could get in from the outside. So everything has to be held in absolute, even the cut of the tobacco, or the fuel in this case, has to be held in complete equipoise. And virtually all of these cigarettes will burn all the way down to the filter or the end of the cigarette, if unfiltered. It's an absolute triumph of industrial design. All that is needed to interrupt that inevitable result is simply a band. In this case, I believe they're 5 millimeters thick, two of them in this case. They will all depend on the particular cigarette. They may have to have more of these bands. Whatever the case, the standard is that of 40 tested, 30 of them are going to have to stop before they reach the end of the cigarette. That is the standard, essentially. And so with that simple solution that's been understood for 70, 80 years, we are going to have a huge impact on the number of fatal fires. Now, the fires that result from cigarettes are result in victims that are the worst of the worst in the burn units. These are the people whose medical bills run over $1 million. I've heard that a 4-year-old child who has burned over 95% of his body, and children can survive a 95% burn, if you can imagine such a thing. But there was one on record of having had 70 72, I believe, surgeries before they reach maturity and quit growing. And so you're looking at, I believe at that time it was total to be an $8 million cost. Now, the cost of designing the cigarette that goes in these papers falls upon the manufacturer, and as it turned out in the study that the Harvard School of Public Health conducted, the cigarette costs did not go up, consumption did not go down, taxes were stable. So the cost, and the tobacco manufacturers have not disclosed what those costs were, I suspect significant, but when amortized out over tens of billions of individual cigarettes that are sold in a given year, they become insignificant enough to have resulted in no price increase. So, and the costs then have been moved back from the back of society onto the manufacturers themselves, and I think that's a good thing. There was some concern when the New York law was implemented in 2004 that it would reduce the availability of cigarettes for sale. These would be an aberration. Fortunately, it started in New York, so it was a huge market and worthwhile market to pursue for manufacturers. And right now, we have got, I've got a list here taken off the New York Secretary of State, the Department of Fire and Fire Prevention, that has a list of current brandings, and they use the term brandings. You can have a 100, you could have a filter, a non-filter, but we're now up to $1,100 of these individual brands that have been approved in New York, and they would just be rubber stamped, essentially, immediately accepted for sale in this state. And if you were to turn to the inside of this exhibit, you will see two cigarettes burning in an ashtray, one a fire safe cigarette on the right, and the normal cigarette on the left. And you could see that, I mean, simply would be preposterous to argue that the one on the left would be a greater fire hazard than the one on the right. It's simply the one on the left has converted all of its heat energy to the substrate below it and the air around, and the one on the right is out within a few minutes and is going to say greatly reduce the opportunity to create a sustained combustion in the substrate. So with that, I urge your approval. I think this is as perfected as this can possibly be, and I urge your unanimous support, if you could, of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a quick question, and thank you very much for your testimony. How would this work on Native American casino cigarette sales?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I had a conversation with the Warm Spring tribes, who are acutely concerned about fires, and I haven't looped back with them. But the representative was very, very favorable, very excited, in fact, about it. I talked to the representative of the Grand Ronde tribe, and they there's been some concerns raised in states that that I had heard for reservations, basically getting non-conforming cigarettes because they've got all kinds of market dynamics. They're trying to undercut general cigarette sales in the non-tribal market. But this is not happening, as I understand, for Grand Ronde. They are selling cigarettes at the same price as everybody else, and they don't see themselves in the cigarette business. They are they're in the gaming business.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this panel? All right, then. Seeing none, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'd like to call up Mr. Ralph Groner, Ken Armstrong, and Mr. Armstrong, I understand you have somebody with you today that wants to come and testify as well?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do.
Very good.
Mr. Chair, Ken Armstrong, representing the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association, and let me say how thrilled I am to be up in front of you again, and this time sitting here with labor at our arm. As you can see, management and labor often work together on some of these issues, and this is an example of one that...
God bless you, gentlemen. You're all fine Americans.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I can be extremely brief. We're here just simply to let you know that management and labor is working together on this issue. This is a high priority for both of us. Anything that reduces the incidence of cigarette-caused fires, number one fire death cause in the state of Oregon, is something that we are absolutely behind. We endorse the Dash 2 amendments, and we're encouraging you in the strongest possible terms to support this bill and the amendments. And with that, I'll turn it over to my colleague, Mr. Groner.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm Ralph Groner with AFSCME. For those of you who don't know who are new, that's American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Top priority to one of my 170 locals, the state fire marshal members, the investigators, is this particular measure, the Dash 2. We support that in conjunction with management. The only thing that I'd like to add is I really would like to thank Tom Whalen and Tim Burr, who have worked on this as retirees voluntarily without pay, and have done this and brought this last session and continued to work, and until this grew into, quite frankly, this is a large coalition this time, very, very large state coalition. And I'd also like to, without smoozing any of you, thank all of you who listened. My only role was a little bitty private with generals walking with me, and I would go to every legislator and introduce them and make sure we got co-sponsors with people who knew what they're talking about. I certainly didn't, but I really respect them and thank those of you who are helping. The only thing I want to add to that is I have people say, why are you working so hard on this issue? It's a little local. And the only answer I have is that I grew up in a family that considers all life very, very, very wonderful. And to this extent, we could have saved many, many lives in Oregon with this law, and lives that unnecessarily are gone. Children and seniors happen to lead the way. So this is a measure for all of you. And I also want to thank, by the way, I've almost forgotten, I'll be quiet, Jim Gardner. And even though he's probably not going to testify, from Philip Morse, who sat down with our folks and worked and worked and worked and worked. And hopefully there's been this consensus as so that we're all working in the same ball game in this country. And so it was business, labor, management, all working cooperatively. And we appreciate your wonderful opportunity to testify in front of you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott?
Chair Schaffler, members of the committee, my name is Scott Winiger. I live in Milwaukee, Oregon. I'm the fire marshal for Clackamas County Fire District Number 1. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the impact, the community impact of cigarettes and cigarette-caused fires. And I'm going to urge you to support the legislation that brings a fire safer cigarette to Oregon, which is House Bill 2163. Clackamas Fire protects about 180,000 people using 16 fire stations throughout the communities. The cities that we serve are Milwaukee, Oregon City, Happy Valley, Johnson City, and a portion of the new city of Damascus. The unincorporated areas of Oak Lodge, Clackamas, Sunnyside, Redland, Carver, Beaver Creek, and Highland and Clarks are also within those areas. So if you recognize any of those community-based areas, those are the areas that we serve. It represents about half the population of Clackamas County that the fire district protects. Cigarette-caused fires are the number one cause of fatal fires across the country and Oregon, and it also serves that purpose across Clackamas County, and it's very unfortunate. I became the fire marshal about 4 years ago, started looking into this issue, and sent Chief Orr a question as to why this issue wasn't addressed in the state of Oregon. Oregon is very progressive as a state, and so it kind of struck me that we were a little late in looking into this. During the last 5 years, 8 people have lost their lives within Clackamas County Fire District 1 because of fire. 8 people. You know, that's eight too many. When I started looking at those specific deaths, five of them were caused by cigarette-caused fires. And there's some details you should know about statistics, and I think as you hear statistics and you're just overwhelmed with some of them, you need to really realize that there's a lot of underreporting that goes on with this issue. As I started researching just the facts in our fire district, I found some real discrepancies that caused me even greater concern and realized that this is a larger problem than we can describe to you just because of the statistical problems with the data collection. The ages of the deaths in our fire district were from 59 to 90, and in two of the cases they were double fatalities where a non-smoker elderly person was killed by their smoking spouse. We had 58 structure fires, 5 car fires, and 97 other fires. So when we're talking about a wildfire problem in Oregon, it's true on the west side of the mountains as well as the east, and cigarettes do play some type of a role in that. Just in our fire district, we had a $1 million property loss that we could directly attribute to cigarette-caused fires. The reason I tell you that cigarette-caused fires are underreported by fire service data collection is because fire investigators rely on science and evidence to determine the cause of a fire. In a fire, it destroys the evidence, especially when you're looking for a cigarette butt in a destroyed chair, in a destroyed mattress, etc. If a fire investigator cannot determine the cause of the fire is listed as undetermined, and it is the belief of the Oregon Fire Service that a lot of cigarette-caused fires actually go down as undetermined, therefore not a definitive answer. So when you ask about how many people die from cigarette-caused fires, the number is probably much larger than what is reported, and it's good for you to keep that in mind. I also need to tell you that the numbers of lives that are lost to cigarette-caused fires, the loss of life is actually underreported. In Fire District 1 statistics, when I started researching our cigarette-caused facts, I found that there was two fires where we had critical injuries caused by cigarettes, and the people didn't die. Well, what happened was, in actuality, they did die either 24 hours or a week later, but the reports were never updated because we don't follow every patient that we treat. So they were alive when they left the scene, alive when they made the ambulance, but they died in the hospital. So underreporting of actual fatalities in this issue, again, could be a problem statewide. There's no system really in place to track patients' outcome for statistical purposes, and so as I painstakingly went through those limited number of fires, I identified those so that I could provide you accurate information. The evidence is compelling, and I would just urge you to bring this to some resolution. Let's bring a fire safer cigarette to Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions? All righty then. Well, thank you very much. I would like to call Rick Bennett and Amy Goodall, please. Oopsie. Oh, and Genoa Ingram, please. Always have to be patient. See if she comes around. Mr. Bennett, you want to lead off?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations for AARP Oregon. And we're here to offer our support for House Bill 2163. I won't duplicate any of the previous testimony. I'd just like to make the point that seniors suffer disproportionately when we talk about cigarette-related fires. According to data from the National Fire Protection Association, though the smoking rate among people 65 and older is less than half the rate of adults younger than age 65, seniors account for more than 40% of those who die in cigarette fires. Now, it was suggested previously that some of those deaths are related to seniors who, because of their medical condition and are taking medication and so forth, that they've left lit cigarettes unattended. I would also suggest to you that many of those deaths occur not because of any fault or involvement of the senior, but in fact they find themselves in a burning building and just because of their physical condition can't exit that building fast enough to save themselves. With that said, again, I would offer our support for this bill. I have not read the Dash 2 amendments, but if Fire Marshal Nancy Orr says that the amendment still makes this a good bill, I'll trust in her judgment on that. Thank you.
Very good. Amy?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Amy Goodall representing the Oregon Medical Association, and I have submitted testimony written by Dr. Jim Lace, who is the chair of our legislative committee in support of House Bill 2163. for the sake of time and because most of his points have already been brought up this afternoon, I will just say that we strongly support this legislation as it has the potential to reduce accidental burn injuries and deaths in Oregon as we've seen it do in New York.
Mr. Chair, Genoa Ingram, Executive Director of the Oregon Fire District Directors Association. I, too, crossed off most of my testimony because those points have already been made. I will say that I did participate in the conference calls cross-country with Philip Morris with the Oregon Fire Marshal's office and can attest that the Fire Marshal did make every good faith and conscientious effort to meet the concerns of the tobacco industry and address those concerns in the Dash 2 amendments, which we do support. As of yesterday, the Special Districts Association of Oregon has also signed on in support of the bill and are pleased to add their name to the long list of supporters on the sheet that you have before you. With that, I would just urge Chair to expedite the process to set a work session for the bill and pass the bill out with the Dash 2 amendments. And I thank you so much for your time.
All right, then. Thank you. Any questions? All right, thank you very much. I would like to call Cindy Robert and Dan Floyd and Richard Kosasan. And Cindy, go ahead and whenever you're ready.
Okay.
I believe Richard's going to give us, and Dan maybe, the perspective of the retailer. So you go right ahead, Cindy, first.
You're okay with this bill, right?
Yes.
You're okay with this bill, right?
With just a couple of little housekeeping ideas.
Glad to get my gavel out.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert, and I'm proud to represent the city of Medford, from which Representative Escobal, your committee member, hails from. I'm here today to add some information to this conversation, and I'm not sure, actually, since I haven't been in the room, and I apologize for that, I was with another legislator, to add some information on the damage that cigarettes cause, specifically to the city of Medford, where our resources are already very strained, and we find that so many of our calls are related to two things, alcohol and tobacco. On your issue today, I wanted you to know that in the last 5 years in Medford alone, there have been 87 fires that were cigarette-induced. There had been 11 residential structure fires that were cigarette-induced, two deaths that were cigarette-induced, and 22.2% of all fire deaths were caused by cigarettes. So a quarter of the fires that caused death in the last 5 years in Medford were from cigarettes. Three injuries and $423,000 worth of direct property damage. Our chief of fire could not be here today, but could not express enough how important he thought this bill was. Before session started, they asked me to introduce this legislation, and when I found out someone else had already done it, I was thankful for two reasons. Number one, I didn't have to do the work. And number two, that meant that this very important issue to the city of Medford was going to make it before you. We urge your support of this bill.
Okay. Since these fine gentlemen are going to give a different perspective, I just want, anybody have any questions of Ms. Robert, Representative?
Just a statement. This is a very good bill. I co-sponsored it last session, and I'm glad to see it come back.
Thank you, Representative.
Any other questions or comments from Ms. Robert? All right, Cindy, well, I'll cut you loose then.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gentlemen.
Mr. Chair, Richard Kosasan, and I represent the Oregon Neighborhood Store Association, which is a statewide group of predominantly small independent convenience stores. We are here today very briefly to testify in opposition to House Bill 2163 as it's written currently. Mr. Groner so eloquently stated before that the group, including Mr. Gardner, Mr. Whalen and others have worked and worked and worked towards some type of amendments, and I think I would encourage the committee to afford those individuals just a little bit more time. If the goal of the legislation is to make certain that Oregon develops a standard absolutely consistent with other states that have adopted similar legislation, California, New York, Illinois, and others, I don't think the precise language as drafted currently meets that test. If one were to refer to the exact language contained in Section 5, stating for each variety of cigarette sold or proposed for sale in this state, the state fire marshal shall determine whether that variety of cigarette is fire safe. Basically affording the fire marshal the flexibility, the latitude, perhaps to go outside the boundaries of a national standard.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but could you just clarify, are you referring to the bill, the original bill as printed, or the amendment that was introduced at the beginning of the hearing?
Chair Schaffler and Representative Rosenbaum, I'm referring to the bill as printed, 2163.
And Richard, may I ask, have you read the dash two amendments yet?
Mr. Chair, I have not seen the dash two amendments. My understanding immediately prior to the hearing was that those amendments were not, my understanding was not per agreements or understandings by the interested parties.
And just so everybody knows, we'll be having another public hearing. It may be on the same day we have the work session, and then we'll ask people to come and address the, after the committee looks and reads the dash twos and any other amendments that come before us. We'll give them an opportunity. But we're going to be moving this bill out, and that's no secret. So, and we've spent a lot of time on this issue. So I just want to give everyone a fair warning. When we do schedule the public hearing and the work session, have your amendments prepared before that. Let these people read them, because we're going to pass out a fire safe cigarette bill on this committee this year. So everybody has a warning now. All right? Thank you. We'll proceed, Mr. Kostasek.
Thank you, Chair Schaffler. I think I...
Forgive me. If we have the votes, we will be passing the bill out of this committee.
I think I got the general drift of
that.
You
really mean, Chair Schaffler.
But again, I think there are some additional provisions which perhaps directly and indirectly afford the fire marshal deference to move outside, quote, a national standard. I think the best of all worlds would be a national standard, but if that is going to be in the not near future, and if the state of Oregon follows suit with what has been done in a very consistent vein, I think that's workable. An immediate example of this in terms of the retail level is we have retailers in Oregon that do business in Oregon, also maintain stores, retail establishments in Washington. So if we deal with two different standards there, from the manufacturer to the distributor to the end retailer, I think you're going to see unforeseen problems with that situation. So with that said, I would encourage and request that the parties so interested to date be afforded just a slight bit more time to work on some cleanup amendments. Mr. Chair, thank you very much.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you. Dan?
Chair Schaffer, members of the committee, my name is Dan Floyd. I represent the Northwest Grocery Association. I didn't know that I signed up, but I'll be glad to give you a little bit of a perspective. I'm also glad that Richard was able to go before me. he outlined a lot of the same arguments that I was going to discuss with you, and for us it is mainly a distribution thing. I mean, Richard talked about retailers that are going to multiple states, distributing to Oregon, Washington, Idaho, California, even Alaska for us. And if we have a separate distribution, what we're trying to avoid is a separate receiving, separate distribution, separate warehousing system. If this bill is in line with other states and is consistent, then we do not have a problem with a bill. You asked Richard about the Dash 2 amendments. I have not seen them either. If they are consistent with other states, then at a later time, then we may be able to support the bill. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for these gentlemen? Representative Berger.
I think, Mr. Chair, you've made it clear where we're going with this, so you almost hesitate sometimes to...
Well, I know where I'm going with it.
I know you are, sir. So let me at least, while these gentlemen are in the chair...
Business.
No, let me raise some issues that occur to me that, while people are working on finalizing this, can at least consider.
And it has, it's connected to what these gentlemen do. And I'm well aware that tobacco is a highly regulated and highly taxed product in Oregon. And there's a whole bunch of Department of Revenue issues around how they interface and whole task force on enforcement and the internet issues that haven't even gotten up here yet. And yet at the same time, while we have all this regulation, this proposal, and I've just had a quick chance to look at it, and our fire marshal, amendments will then be another regulatory body on cigarettes that's doing a whole nother piece of the cigarette pie. And I'm a little concerned that the fire marshal's out here testing one thing and the Department of Revenue is out there testing something else. And they're all coming in through both the streams that these gentlemen represent and the internet represents. And I don't know how much work this is going to be for the fire marshal, in terms of their budget. But I just would like to bring it forward that they need to be talking to each other in terms of a more cogent system of regulating all this, if possible. If it works the way it's written, I'm happy. That's fine. But clearly, this is a job that the fire marshal's office has not taken on before, which is testing cigarettes. So it's sort of a, maybe they have, maybe I'm wrong. But I do know the Department of Revenue has a lot of enforcement on cigarette taxation, and maybe they ought to be talking to each other.
And Representative Berger, thank you. And I don't want anyone to think for one second that nobody's going to get a chance to talk on this or speak to this, or that we're in any hurry to do this. But you know what? We've had this issue before us since this is my third term now, and I think this here has been already testified for quite a while. And we will have time, we will all have time, assuming we get them in a timely fashion, to digest, read, ask questions about any more amendments that may be coming down the pike on this. But we're not going to be here until August. So, and the theme of this session is get our work done and get out, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And I don't know what more to say about it. I will be addressing my suggestions to the industry when they get up here, myself personally. But are there any more questions for these guys, these fine gentlemen? Very good.
Thank you
very much. Last but most certainly not least, Mr. Gardner, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jim Gardner. I'm appearing today for Philip Morris. And as you heard from the gracious comments of Mr. Groner, we have been working diligently for months now. I think our dialogue began around Thanksgiving on what are essentially technical changes that are aimed at making this legislation as consistent as possible with the other bills that have passed around the country, which Philip Morris has supported, New York, California, and Illinois, paramount among them. I want to also add that a person whose name has not been mentioned, Terry Glocar, who is an assistant to the fire marshal, who has been the person with whom I've had the privilege to work for these many months, has just been an absolute zealot for getting the hard work done to try to bring this together. When we met for the final time in Legislative Council and presented them with our markup of a draft and said, this is what we would like to accomplish, we had an agreement with the fire marshal on all but perhaps a few little niggly words here and there. We were in agreement. We had achieved our objective. And our objective was to come to a position where we could support the bill, not just sit still for it, not, you know, say, oh, all right, support the bill. We got the dash twos this morning. Unfortunately, and for reasons that I'll be delighted to detail in a quick memo to this committee, Our lawyers looked at it and said, this is not what we agreed to. Legislative Council did not accurately, in their view, translate that agreement into language that is from their perspective, acceptable. I personally think we can accomplish that objective, and I'm going to put everything I possibly can, every effort I can possibly put into it to getting this language into a form that we can accept. That's my objective, both personally, and it's the objective of the company. I acknowledge what you said, Mr. Chairman, about this bill is going to move. I want it to move, again, as a personal as well as a corporate matter. I want it to move with our support, but I have been told that as currently drafted, if Dash 2 in its bare form now is adopted, we'll have to oppose the bill, and I really don't want to do that. So I would ask, I think any of the people that we've been working with would assure you that we've been working with extreme diligence and seriousness to accomplish our mutual objective. I'm just hopeful that, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, you will afford us perhaps a little bit of time and perhaps equally important, some help in jawboning LC.
And Mr. Gardner, I'm more than willing to give you time, but not all the time in the world, okay? And I have no problem with that, and I don't think anybody up here on this dais has any problem with that. But what I really want to say is this. And I've tried not to speak too much up here because it's not my job, but I just want to give a couple examples of how things have worked here since I've been here. In 2003, some real nice, good legislators and I had a minority report having to do with payday lending, and it would have capped it at 60% a year. And they said no and dug in. The industry did. Well, now it's 36. Had they said yes, it would have been real good for their business in 2003, and they said no. The pesticide use reporting system, the agricultural community said, we will fund pesticide use reporting system as long as it's by watershed. They said that in 2003. And some other nice people dug in, and they didn't get any funding in 2003. That they got what the ag said they were going to get in 2005. And they dug in. And people in this building have dug in on land use in 2003 and 2005. The people that love Senate Bill 100, just the way it was, dug in. Now we got Measure 37. My suggesting to you and the good lawyers that you're probably going to watch this is this. Why does not the industry, and I smoke cigars, I drink beer and smoke cigars in smoky taverns, and I will never vote to ban smoking in public because it's a right, in my opinion. I don't condone it, I don't encourage it, I don't want my daughter smoking cigars either. But I'll go a long way with the industry. Why doesn't the industry, and I'm not asking you to answer this now, for the life of me, rather than spend all this time, money, and misery, why not just voluntarily start producing these cigarettes all the way across the country and move on? Now, you don't have to answer that question. It's a rhetorical question, but that's, for the life of me, I don't understand why business shoots themselves in the foot so often. And it's not your fault, sir, and I'm not trying to beat up on you. So that's my humble opinion, and I think you all know where I want this bill to go in whatever form it is.
Now, Mr. Chairman, perhaps not exactly by way of response, but I will say that there are many states now where the industry is working with the counterpart of the fire marshal to accomplish the objective of passing legislation that is consistent with the New York legislation, which was the original model, and that is my objective, to try to make that happen, if humanly possible, in the state of Oregon.
And I just want to, for the record, say I do really appreciate all the efforts you put into this. And I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, when I saw how open your industry, your specific company, has been to discussing this and trying to work with some kind of agreement. I just want to make sure you know that. All right. Thank you very much. My pleasure. Any questions for Mr. Gardner? All right, then. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that needs to testify on this? And once again, folks, we are going to have another public hearing, and it will be, it will be ample time for everyone to get any language they want to talk about in that public hearing. And then this committee will decide which amendment we're going to attach to this bill. And then I hope my colleagues up here vote with me on moving some fire safe cigarette bill out of this committee into the floor. If there's nothing else for the good, well, I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 2163. Is there anything for the good of the order? And we will be having, just so we all are here, we will be having a meeting on Friday. That's been moved back 23rd. So. And if not, I'm going to close the House and Business Labor Committee.